Welcome to another edition of Sobriety Seeds, the podcast. In this episode, we are going to talk about the power of why in sobriety. The power of why in sobriety. And in doing this, well, first of all, my name is Axton Park. I am your host, but please call me Ax. This is my very first episode, so please bear with me as I fumble and stumble. But I do intend to give you some really good content here for those that are trying to quit drinking, embrace sobriety, and start to reclaim their lives and rebuild their lives. So I figured a good episode to start with would be the power of why in sobriety. And in doing so, I did some research. I didn't want to just wing this. I really want to present some good information, some good content, something valuable, because, you know, I'm not trying to teach you how to bake a cake here. I'm trying to literally teach you how to quit drinking, which is a massive undertaking. As you know, people still may call this, a disease, and it may be. A little background on me, I guess I should give too. I did drink for 30 years. I was an alcoholic for 30 years, if that's what you want to call me. I was addicted to alcohol for 30 years. And I currently am in my 10th year of sobriety. Woohoo! I should do the clap effect or something, but I want to keep my sense of humor here, but I also want to be, you know, this is a very serious subject and you're looking for help, so I want to give you that as well, but I don't want to be boring and put you to sleep. Which brings me to segue here in my research. A lot of the research that I was trying to do on the power of why, like I was trying to figure out what happens in the brain when you actually have your why. Like for me, I struggled for 30 years. You know, if you're like me, every day I wanted to quit. You know, there was many times I wanted to quit, but I just couldn't. I couldn't. So what I was trying to do is figure out, how am I in my 10th year now? And I go back to the day I embraced sobriety, which was May 31st, 2015, when I had a race with a state trooper on the highway. And, you know, I was doing a little bit over 100 miles racing him, past him. Here was an unmarked vehicle. Long story short, I got a DUI. And it involved, like, my children weren't with me, but the long story short here, it's a podcast. I understand I can talk long. Again, this is my first episode. I want to get straight to the point here. But what worked for me was the pain, finally the pain of having to call my sons to come pick me up at 4 a.m. They were like 17 and 20 years old. And just 30 years, you know, it was like a lot of pain. So it's like, okay. Something clicked in my brain, and that's what this episode is about, the power of why. Like, what I'm trying to figure out, what clicked in my brain. I know I had too much pain. Like, that was it. Like, I can't raise men if I can't be a man, and that obviously is a very, very powerful drive for me. Some men probably don't care about being a man. I don't know. I'm not going to judge anybody here, but I know for me, I wanted to be an amazing example of a man. I had 2 daughters to my first wife, 2 sons to my second wife. I currently, by the way, have a son and a daughter to the third lady in my life. But at that time, you know, I was like, you know, I can't raise men. And these are, by the way, were my 2 stepkids, who are like my best friends in the world today, by the way. They're my sons. And that was a driving force for me. And even those words that come to my natural, driving force, the power of why. So if you're trying to quit, this episode again, and I'm trying to get to the point here again, I apologize. I keep giving you background here. But the power of why, I was trying to figure out what happened in my brain. Now, like I said, doing my research, I found tons of just like scientific stuff and some articles that were just, you know, I had to take 4 aspirin after trying to read them. But I did come across something very, very interesting. And I think that's what we're going to call this here. And it's basically 2 words called motivational salience. So I think the power of why when it comes to addiction and when you stop addiction comes down to 2 parts. And to be very transparent here, this is a little embarrassing, but I will cite my source here. So I actually came down to good old faithful Wikipedia. Now, if you don't know about Wikipedia, from what I understand of Wikipedia, it is just made by people, and there can be some mistakes and things like that. So if you go to Wikipedia yourself, if you wanted to fact check this, maybe read along with me, correct me on anything that I may misunderstand. But the point here is that if you can start with the power of why do you want to quit drinking? Why do you want to embrace a life of sobriety? It's helpful to know what's going on in your brain, and maybe you can even guide your brain to it. Because for me, it was the driving force of enough pain, which I'm going to come into this here in a second. So let me just start reading this and then we'll take it from there. So this is motivational salience. Okay. So the power of why and sobriety, motivational salience. It says motivational salience is a cognitive process and form of attention that motivates or propels an individual's behavior towards or away from a particular object, perceived event, or outcome. So what's that mean? It means motivational salience basically happens in your brain, where your brain is either motivated to go towards something because of what you associate with it, or it's going to propel you from it. Understand that? So like when I wanted to try to quit drinking, the motivational salience for me was driving me towards what I perceived as pleasure because of the numbness. I drank from 14 to 45. I never really went through adolescence. What is it? Growing pains. Like I never went through growing pains, whatever the technical term for that is. So for me, you know, I was kind of always like in a numb state. I didn't really feel as much as I could have felt in going through those growing pains, the pains of life of growing, which basically helps you become a well-adjusted adult. You know, that's why even to me, it's sometimes hard for me when I get very emotional, you know, very hurt by someone or angry or something like that. It's hard for me to actually like, you know, be an adult and talk about it. I'd rather would just stay away from you and not talk to you. Kind of like a child going hiding in a corner, you know. And I'm working on that. But that's what that means. So motivational salience, cognitive process, and it's a form of attention. Remember, attention. Because when I wanted to drink, where was my attention? On that alcohol, man, on that high, on that buzz. And that's what I wanted to do. It was the motivational salience doing that. Now, as I read further, it says motivational salience regulates the intensity of behaviors that facilitate the attainment of a particular goal. So what's that mean? Motivational salience regulates the intensity of behaviors that facilitate the attainment of a particular goal. So basically, you have this goal. My goal then was to get drunk, to have that feeling. And the motivational salience I had regulated that. It kept my attention on that because that's what I had perceived as pleasure. So even now, even though the science may say that, you know, our bodies, me meaning like an alcoholic's body, processes alcohol differently, which I truly do believe, because even right now, as you know, I'm in my 10th year, but I can guarantee if I take a beer right now and drink it, I'm not going to be able to stop. Like even if I just have one and I get a headache or something, I can guarantee you tomorrow I'm going to want another drink, and then the whole process is going to start before you know it, you know, another DUI or something worse. So it's like I know our bodies may process it differently, and it's not necessarily a mental thing. However, now, once that I'm sober now and I've been in my 10th year of sobriety, now it's a mental thing. Now it's a choice because now I haven't had it in my body, in my system. And just quickly, by the way, on a side note, if you understand anything about atoms, you know, the cells in our body, which are atoms, and just say our cells, just like you have new, you know, your fingernails grow and then cells die, your hair cells die. Every day you have skin cells that chip off of you. Well, every 7 years, every single cell in your body is literally replaced. I think like the heart might be the last. You guys can correct me on this. I think like the heart might take the longest. But literally, if you think about it, think about what a baby looks like at birth, right? And think about it, what it looks like, I don't know, maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks later, even 6 months later. It's still, you know, the baby. And even a year, it's a baby. Toddler. But think about a baby at a baby and think about a baby at 7 years old. Now you have a 7-year-old child, completely different. Right? And same thing, that 7-year-old child might look a little the same at 8, 9, 10 even, you know, but if you take a 7-year-old child and look at him 7 years later as a 14-year-old teenager, completely different. It's because every single cell in that child's body, that human's body, has been replaced over those 7 years. It's a completely new body. So the reason I like to say that is technically, I've never had alcohol in this body because, you know, I'm in my 10th year. But with that said, what happened in me that made me finally quit? What was my power of why? It was driven to me because of the motivational salience. What you need to focus on is what is your motivational salience? And by the way, this is really tricky. There's two parts to this. You have what is called incentive salience, and we also have aversive salience. Incentive is the attractive form of motivational salience that causes the approach to the behavior, and it's associated with reinforcement, desirable outcomes, pleasurable stimuli. That's the incentive salience. So again, when I was trying to drink, I still had incentive salience towards the high, towards the feeling. Now, break it down to the aversive salience, and that's sometimes known as fearful salience. It's the aversive form of motivational salience that causes avoidance behavior, and it's associated with the operant of punishment, undesirable outcomes, and unpleasant stimuli. So what happened for me with my power of why, and hopefully with yours, is that the incentive salience, if you break it down, oh my God, years ago, I used to listen to Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker. He's not a motivational speaker, you know what I'm saying? The guy that helps you improve your life. And he put it this way, and this is kind of what this is breaking down to. He said, and actually I think he got this from Jim Rohn, his mentor, is that what we do is human beings basically come down to trying to go towards pain and avoid pleasure. I mean, the other way around, I'm sorry. They try to go towards pleasure and avoid pain. So initially what happens in that incentive salience is that you think that you are moving towards pleasure because it's pleasurable at first to get that high, to get that feeling, to get that buzz, you know, to not care about your problems, to go ahead and release your inhibitions and say how you really feel. I remember being at a AA meeting years ago, and there was a small person there, to be politically correct? Okay, so there was a small person there. And that small person said, you know what, when I drink, I'm 10 feet tall. You know, so it really showed what was going on in his mind. Even though for me as a regular person, I see everybody as everybody. I mean, if you're ignorant and you're rude, that's it. I kind of go by the, you know, judge a person by their character situation. I don't care what you do. I don't care, period. I don't care if you got, I can't even think of anything, quote unquote, that other people would freak about. What do people freak about? Like tattoos and ear piercings and, I don't know, spiky hair, that kind of stuff. I don't know. Or even sexual preferences or that kind of stuff. I don't care. Like, you know, live and let live. I respect you as a person, period. And same thing I always saw for small people. I never really thought about it, to tell you the truth. But that's what he said. So his incentive salience, it was driving him toward the pleasurable feeling of feeling 10 feet tall and avoiding that pain that he felt not being 10 feet tall, you know, being a small person in a world full of non-small people. So the power of why, again, I'm bringing this back here, comes down to two factors, what you want to associate pleasure to and what you want to associate pain to. So if you want to get a powerful why, what you need to do is you need to start to do what happened in my brain, where the amount of pleasure, if you're looking at this like a scale, like a seesaw, you know, or like a weight system, like a justice system, a scale, you know, with two ends that weigh each other down. When it started, the scale, say, on the left is the pleasure, right? And the scale on the left is pain. So, bam, it's like putting when you first start drinking, or if you're caught up in this cycle, then the brick on the right side is weighing you down. That's the pleasure that you think you're feeling, that you're perceiving, that you're really getting. So it's the pleasure, bam, and it's just, the pain has no consequences. Now, the next day, you know, when you have a hangover or you did something really stupid that night, it switches a little bit, and now all of a sudden, that pleasure is as light as can be, and then you feel all this pain on the right. What you need to do here is switch it. In terms of associating more pain to drinking than pleasure. And again, much easier said than done. I understand that because we still have the physical cravings. Okay, so and again, I'm going to be doing this for the next 30 years. So I'll have plenty more podcasts where I can break down, exercise, diet, all those things. But for now, for this particular first episode here, we're going to talk about the power of why. I think it's a good place to start. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to wrap this up and not get into it too much, but the takeaways here. So the seeds to plant, the takeaway from everything I just rambled on about. Again, apologies, I'm new. But if you did make it this far and you listened, you know, bless you. Thank you so very much, number one, for listening to the podcast, because I am new and I'm a little excited. I don't use the N word. I don't use nervous. I'm not nervous. But I'm a little bit excited because I really do want to serve you. I really do want to help you. I struggled for so many years, and I know what it's like here on the other side, and I know what you're going through right now. You know, most likely, I know what it's like to not be able to quit when you want to quit. This is now my calling, my purpose. So, I apologize if I'm a little bit excited here, but I'm going to wrap it up here and you know, stick with me. We'll grow together. We're going to get you sober. We're going to get you moving forward, and we're going to get me a little bit better here in presenting all of this. So with that said, I'm going to wrap this episode up here. And the takeaway here, the sobriety seed that I'd like you to do, I'd like you to plant some seeds here. So even if none of that made sense to you, this is what I would like you to do, is to plant a seed if you really want to help try to find your why. Just get a piece of paper out. Be better if you can start with a journal and start to keep all of your thoughts, your sobriety seed thoughts, right in the journal. But no matter how you do it, you must write it. And actually, if you go to my website, it's not completed as of right now, but if you go there, there's a blog post on why writing like physically on paper is better for your brain than, you know, typing and things like that. So check out that post on sobrietyseeds.com. Just go ahead and, hit it in the search, writing, you'll find it. And that might help you. So my recommendation to you here, the seed I'd like you to plant is to get a piece of paper and a pen, pencil, however you want to do it, and start a list, kind of like a pros and cons list. But basically, what I'd like you to do is, I would like you to, and actually, this is really going to help you maybe even demystify some stuff, like pull the curtain back, like in The Wizard of Oz. If you literally use write a list on the things you associate pleasure, actually, to drinking, okay? You're listening to this podcast because you want to quit drinking, so you know what? The transition has already started, whether you realize it or not. You've already started associating a lot of pain to drinking, which is why you're listening to this. So that's beautiful. That's a great thing. Your brain is already starting to associate negative feelings and pain to drinking. So what I like to do is even kind of like do the devil's advocate. Start writing what you think you perceive as pleasurable, which could be things like, you know, for me it was, I didn't have to feel certain emotions. You know, somebody hurt my feelings, I just drink. If I feel lonely, you know, I would drink. They say, hey, alcoholics drink because they drink. But in my relapse at times, okay, because out of the 30 years, I did quit 3 times for 1 year, and I quit 1 time for 3 years, and then went back, you know, subsequently. Presently, I'm in my 10th year. But I know what brought me back each of those times was an emotion that I had. Now, I would like to do a whole nother podcast on that, because that's very important as well. It's a trigger that can get you to drink. But I want you to go ahead and start, take a piece of paper out, list everything that you currently perceive as pleasurable to drinking, but then also write down everything that you perceive and feel as pain to drinking. That's one thing. Then I want you to do the same thing. I want you to then start another list of everything that's been effed up in your life because of drinking. Like everything, whether that's not even just physical things or money or, you know, if you're in trouble with the law, the way your family looks at you, the way your neighbors, anything, just anything negative that's associated with it that really doesn't make you feel good. Just write that down. Then obviously on the other side, I'd like you to go ahead and write how you want to feel, how you would like that relationship to be, how you want to feel as yourself. Then after that, and again, hey, this is work. Remember, these are seeds that we're planting, just like planting a garden. You can't just have a garden. You got to literally get the dirt and the soil and everything ready first. And that's what we're doing right now. We're getting your mind ready. We're tilling your mind. We're getting the soil ready. We're going to start planting these seeds. It's going to take some time, just like seeds. You can't plant an apple tree and the next day it's there. So right now, this is the work. And by the way, that's why I really wanted to start with this episode of The Power of Why. Because if you do have a strong power, guess what? You're going to do the work. You're not going to go, I mean, writing all this crap down to go crack a beer and be good. You might do that. You know, you might do that. But please be back here. My goal is really, you know, my incentive salience is to do a podcast every week here. So I want to show up for you every single day for the next 30 years. So please do that work if you really want to quit. I can't, you know, I can give you the seeds and tell you how to do it, but you've got to do it yourself. So hopefully this podcast has served you today. If I break it down again, it comes down to what you associate pain and pleasure to when it comes to alcohol. Okay, so plant those seeds and then crystallize that and try to find your why. Why do you want to quit? Obviously, you're going to focus on all the positive things that you want to move towards and then focus on all the negative things and feel that feeling. And in the next episode, you know what? Now that I think about it, in the next episode, I'm going to do... an audio exercise with you, okay? So look forward to that. In the next episode, we're going to do an audio exercise that's going to help you narrow down your why and really start to feel it. So you can really start to feel it and have a driving force that's going to help propel you to embrace sobriety, reclaim your life, rebuild your life, and move forward, okay? So in the meantime, keep cultivating.